So Luke is a great book. Luke was a doctor, by the way. His occupation was, he was a doctor back in those days. I don't know what kind of prescriptions you would prescribe, maybe from plants, you know, back in 2,000 years ago. Not a lot of pharmacies. You get it? So Luke talks about the birth of John the Baptist. Who was John the Baptist? He was the forerunner for Jesus. And it's going to explain it here. I'm going to do some reading today, because the Lord just is prompting me to do more. Just read, and let it come out. See what happens. And so I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias. Let's call him Zach, just so, because I'm going to mention him again. Zacharias is a great name. A division of Abijah. And he had a wife, say wife, from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. We can call her Liz if we want to. Elizabeth. So we have what? Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in the commandments and requirements of the Lord. So, what does that mean? God saw favor in them because they were living a righteous life. They were what we call Old Testament saints. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were certainly Jewish. And so they were righteous in the sight of God. So God is going to give them favor. And it's always God's choice to find favor in whoever he wants. But they were walking in the commandments of God. Lots of obedience and lots of rewards and peace in obeying God in his scripture. But they had no child. Okay. But Elizabeth, she was barren. And they were both advanced in years. Scholars say she was probably at least over 60, 65 years. I mean, that's past childbearing years, if you will. So she was old. Say old. Okay. I'm 60. So I don't know what you consider old, but she was advanced in years. She was beyond childbearing years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of priestly office, he was chosen by lot, in other words, his ticket came up, to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Zacharias lived to do this all his life. This was his ministry. Just like me as a minister, you live and you work and you go and you minister, and he lived for this moment to go into the temple. His ticket. He got his ticket. The Lord had called him. So he's pretty excited. He has to be excited about it. And the whole multitude. So his ticket came up. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. So what do these people want? They want a word from the Lord. They're waiting on, come on, the prophet Zechariah. He's in there burning incense. He's praying up to God. And they're waiting for a word. You know, we need words from good preachers these days, don't we? To explain things. And what happens then? An angel of the Lord appeared to him. Say angel.
Angel.
God was using angels a lot back in this day. We'll understand why. Standing to the right of the altar of the incense. The angel standing right to the altar. Is he excited about it? Well, listen to what happens when people saw angels back in those days. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. Say fear. He was like, whoa. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. People say, oh, an angel came to my room. Well, doesn't happen all the time. And certainly it didn't happen to him. And he was fearful that this angel that God had sent was right there at the altar of God. Here's what the angel said in 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. Turn to your neighbor and say, do not be afraid. That is one of the most used phrases. Even Jesus used it many times in the Bible. Why do you think that is? Because first of all, sometimes we're fearful in life about things that happen. And he knew, the angel did, and God was certainly knew before anybody, that he was going to be like fearful of this angel standing at the altar in the temple. It would be like me all of a sudden preaching like I'm doing. Woo! And an angel pops up. I'm not going to go, oh. I'm going to be like, whoa. It would be fearful, sure. But see, the Lord's going to bring him some comfort. And he knew, he says, do not be afraid, Zacharias. For your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Whoa! Now this is a miracle. She's beyond childbearing years. They're old. And back in that culture, if you did not, she was barren and never had children. And back in that culture, in the Hebrew Jewish culture, in this day, if you didn't have children, it was almost like you were cursed, that you were like, had a little curse on you, because having children, lots of them, was a blessing from God. So, what's he say? Elizabeth, you will bear a son, and you will give him the name John. Uh-oh, who's that? John who? The Baptist. John the Baptist. He came before Christ. You will have joy. Say joy. Joy to the world, right? There you go. And he will be great in the sight of the Lord, talking about John the Baptist, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's in his mother's womb. He's in his mother's womb, and he's going to be jumping. He's going to be preaching the Lord. This is interesting. He's going to be preaching the birth of Christ while he's in the womb of Elizabeth. Watch this. I can prove it, because I'm just reading verse by verse. And he will turn many, say many, to the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. He's going to proclaim the name of God, the God of the Bible, and he's going to bring so many people back to a relationship with God. John the Baptist, it says in other parts of Scripture, that he was the greatest man born except for Christ. Because Christ had no father. His father was God, of course, but he was the greatest man born of woman, the Bible says. So he's a very important character, of course, in the Bible. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord. It is he who will go as a forerunner, that's before him, him is Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Some people thought he was Elijah. Come back. Woo, you're acting like Elijah did. You're preaching like, you're going to preach like Elijah. No, he wasn't Elijah. He came in the spirit of Elijah to turn their hearts to the fathers, back to their children. Isn't that something about God? How he just wants a relationship with us, that's all. God doesn't need anything from us, but he wants us to give him our heart. And he's going to help people do that. And the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So we're setting it up. John the Baptist, Elizabeth, she's barren, but not anymore because she's got favor from God. I would say this is a miracle, wouldn't you? Somebody that can't have children having children. Now hold on. We're going to get to Mary in a minute. So Zechariah, and here's what Zechariah does. He said to the angel, oh, this is bad. Bad Zach. Say bad Zach. Watch what he says to the angel. After the angel said, Elizabeth is going to bear a son. And instead of him rejoicing, what does he do? This is what he says. Bad Zach. Says, Zacharias said to the angel, how will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. Wrong answer, Zach. You should be praising God for this miracle. You are what we call doubting God. Have you ever done that? So some people do. So he doubted God. He's full of doubt now. He should be saying, praise God for this miracle. But he says, how can that happen? That can't happen. Because my wife is old and I'm old. And you know, that just can't happen. He ain't getting it. So what does God do? God does what he did to Zechariah. Sometimes he does to us. What does he do? A little chastening. Say chastening. Chastening is what? Some stern discipline out of love. Did your parents ever discipline you out of love? Yes. Sometimes maybe not out of love? Yes. But God's going to discipline him for doubting. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't ever doubt God. Y'all say it? Okay. I know we have it times in our life too. And he says, the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this what? Good news. Say good news. Good news. This is good news. And you're going, and you're doubting me? And behold, you shall be silent. This shuts him up. Boop. This is what God is going to do to Zacharias for a while because he doubted. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place. Can you imagine shutting up a preacher? Think of that for me. Think of me doubting God, and God says, okay, you think I can't do a miracle in your life? And you doubted me? Well, because you talk so much and you preach and you teach, and it's a big part of my life, it's communication. Is he going to shut me up? He's going to make me mute. How would you like that?
I wouldn't like it.
No, I wouldn't like it more than anything. But so the behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place. Behold, you did not believe my words. There you go. What's the moral to this quick story? We've gone through Elizabeth and bearing. The moral to the story, you did not believe what I said I was going to do. So therefore, I'm going to zip you up. He became mute. I just thought about this when I was preparing for this lesson. If God made me mute, that would hurt. That would teach me something. I went around. Can you imagine me going around for 5 months not being able to... I'd have to write stuff on pieces of paper to communicate. That would be bad. And so I can understand, and Zechariah is going to learn this lesson because he was waiting to get to the temple and to get a word from God and burn the incense and then go out and speak to the people and give them a word. They were waiting for the word from Zacharias, but he doubted and God zipped him up. Zach. Why didn't you believe in God when he told you? Why'd you doubt? I have to admit, some days I have doubted. And it's normal to. But God doesn't want us to doubt. It doesn't please him when we doubt. Especially when he's ready to perform a miracle in your life. And he says, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. The people, okay, verse 21, the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. Well, he was a little caught up in what God was doing to him, and they were all out there going, when's he coming out? We're ready. Where's Zach at? Why is he taking so long to be in the temple? The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering why he's in there so long. Poor Zach. But when he came out of the temple, he was unable to speak to them. I can't only imagine coming down to speak to you about God's word and then me doubting God, and God says, oops, zip, and me not be able to speak. It's who I am. And it's who he was, but God wanted to show him, don't doubt me. Don't doubt me. I can perform miracles whoever I choose, when I choose, and how I choose, but don't doubt me. You can ask questions, but don't doubt me. And when he came out, he realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them, and he remained mute. He just had to do sign language. Can I preach that way? I don't think I can. I don't know sign language. And he didn't either. So you know he must have been frustrated. A man that could communicate, but now he can't say a word and he's trying to communicate with whatever. No, not good. And when the days his priestly service was ended, he went back home. Yeah. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. And she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. Say 5 months. Okay. So she's pregnant. She goes off. And to wherever she goes, he's like, I can't believe this is what's happening to me. I got a pregnant wife. I should have been excited about it, but now I can't talk. And I was waiting for all my life to go to the temple and do what God had chose me to do. And now he's zipping my lips and I can't say a word to anybody. Do anything else to me, but don't take my communication skills away. God's serious about this issue. And in verse 25, verse by verse teaching, this is the way of the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me. Elizabeth is preaching to him. He said, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. So she's saying to him, he can't talk, look what God has done for me. He's given me favor, I'm pregnant, and now I'm not disgraceful as, quote, being cursed, not having to be bearing children. God is good. He's not seeing it yet. And Elizabeth has. Good job, Elizabeth. Way to go. Giving your husband a little word here. Hey, straighten up. It's just like women, right? Straighten up. Did you do that to your... You know. Yeah, don't put your hands on the table. Okay. I'd never do that in my house. Oh, I get in trouble. No way. Have you ever done that? No way. And I'd have to sit up underneath the table. I couldn't just sit like some of the young people I see now sitting at tables. They just sit there and they don't even put the table up in. They don't sit up straight. You know, you sit up straight at the table and you do the right thing. I don't know where I got that from. That was stuff that I've learned over the years. Now, here we go. Jesus, here comes Jesus. Now, in verse 26, the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Say Nazareth. That's where Jesus was born. To a virgin. Virgin? Okay. Virgin. Engaged to a man whose name was, who was... Who was she engaged to? Joseph. A righteous man. Joseph, I really admire him. And this is another story in another place. But it doesn't show it here in Luke. It shows it in another form of the gospel. Joseph was a righteous man. And when he found out his girlfriend that he was engaged to was a virgin and he knew that was pregnant, I don't know, I might have some problems with it. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? So he was patient. He was a righteous man of the descendant of David, and the virgin's name was what? We all know. Say it. The virgin what? Mary. And coming in, in verse 28, and coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. So she needed some encouragement too, didn't she? She's a virgin and pregnant. Well, somebody, God better give me some encouragement. And what happens? God gives me some encouragement. Do you know that God will give you encouragement just at the right time when you need it? Don't you agree? I would agree. And so Mary needed encouragement. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. So it probably puts her at ease that one, hey, I haven't been with a man. And I'm pregnant. And I'm going to be disgraced in the village. And people are going to start talking about me behind my back. Could you imagine the stigma? And I'll go to verse 29. And I'll go to verse 29 as I proceed. In Luke chapter 1, verse 29. But even though, listen carefully, the difference between her and Zach, Elizabeth is already praising God for being pregnant. But it says here in verse 29, but Mary was very perplexed at the statement. Now, she wasn't doubting. Difference. Zacharias was a doubter. He says, no, God can't do miracles. Mary was just perplexed. It's not a sin. Isn't that great? Because I'm perplexed a lot. Sometimes you just don't understand why things are, but that doesn't mean you're doubting. It means that I could use a little encouragement or some explanation about what's going on. And the angel said to her, after she was perplexed at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was, the angel said to her, here we go again, the phrase, do not be afraid. Here we go again. How many times have we said it? Just in a couple of verses. Do not be afraid. Jesus said that a lot. And I kind of know why. Sometimes we can get there. For you have found favor with God. Some people say, well, why did God pick Mary? I don't know. Well, one, I know she was an Old Testament saint. She was a believer in the God of Israel and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She was Jewish, but she believed in God. But she just found favor with God. And here's my answer. When somebody says, well, why is Mary picked? Well, because God found favor with her. God is sovereign. He can find favor with any of us anytime He wants. And by the way, if you need to go pray, you pray direct through Christ. You can pray directly to God in Christ Jesus if you're a Christian. You don't need Mary to pray for you or any saints that have died before you to pray for you. You go straight to the throne of grace, the Bible says. In verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him what? Oh, this is a... You shall name him what? Say it louder. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. So God is being really specific on instructions. Here's the thing. God wrote the Bible for us to be encouraged by, to be convicted by, so we can live a righteous life, to protect us from doing the wrong thing. And God is, through the angel of Gabriel, is giving Mary specific instructions. So when God gives you instructions, when you read something in the Bible, and God says, do that, guess what you should be doing? Doing that. Oh, Revelation. No rocket science there. So God's telling her, name him Jesus. And he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He said, from the heritage of David, how Jewish can you be? And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. What's that called? Eternity. Turn to your neighbor and say, if I'm a Christian, I'll live for eternity. Here's the interesting thing about God. It will kind of blow your mind if you think about it too hard. God had no beginning. Oh my. He always was from eternity past. That's a little mind blow for me. Now, I can understand eternity future a little bit better. But eternity past... God always was. Jesus always was. There was no beginning with them. They always were from eternity past. And Mary said to the angel, now this is interesting. And the reign over the house of Jacob and his kingdom will have no end. So he's prepping out Mary about who this baby is going to be. And Mary said to the angel, this is different now. This is a question, not a doubt. She says, Mary to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? No, that's not doubt. That's not a doubt. That's not like Zechariah. That's just a question. There's no way I can see in Scripture that asking God questions is a sin. She just says, you know, she didn't say, oh, nay, no way I can be pregnant. You know what I mean? She said, that can't happen. She didn't do it like Zach did. She just said, how can this be since I'm a virgin? She's just asking a question, not doubting like Zacharias. Big difference here. You would think it's almost the same. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of the Living God." God comes to earth as man. He nestles himself in the placenta of a peasant woman. She must have been 15 years old, maybe. Some people say she was probably a young teenager. They got married early back then. But this is phenomenal. Look at the miracles happening here. Look at the interaction between the angels, Zacharias having his issues with his doubt, Mary the virgin. And then I'm sure Joseph was having his issues with saying, "Hey, I'm engaged to a virgin that's pregnant. Oh, what's going on here? That ain't good." But he did not embarrass her. And that's for another time. I love talking about that part of the scriptures. "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth." So they were related. Mary and Elizabeth were related. Okay, so they were from the same bloodline as David. They were Jewish. But here's the thing. People say, well, Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. I don't think so. I'm talking loud enough. And behold, even your relative, listen carefully, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her 6th month of pregnancy. So she's 6 months with John the Baptist, Elizabeth, and then Mary, she's brand new with Jesus. But see how they were relatives. Now, my thought is, if Elizabeth was 65 or 70 years old and beyond barren, and Mary was 15, it'd be hard for them to be cousins. Some people, you know, scholars will debate all, you know, how were they related. I would say aunt. I don't say aunt because Anne is an aunt. Elizabeth was probably her aunt. That's not very important, but they were far apart in age. And here's the bomb. "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her 6th month. So how old was John the Baptist in the womb? 6 months older than Jesus was in Mary. This is pretty good, y'all. And here's the thing, that if you don't remember any other scripture in your entire life as a Christian, this is the one you need to recognize. Luke 1:37. "For nothing," say it, "for nothing will," say it, "will be impossible with God." For nothing will be impossible with God. If you don't learn one scripture in the whole Bible as a Christian, that's the one you need. Because nothing is impossible with God. God just has proven it through this scripture, verse by verse. "And Mary said," now look at Mary. Good Mary. Mary and Elizabeth, they're on it. Zach, he's at home pouting because he can't talk. And Mary says, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Hallelujah. She gets it. She got it. She accepted it. She didn't doubt. She had a question, but she didn't doubt. So she getting blessed. Elizabeth getting blessed in her old age, and they're all having a good time except for Zach. I don't know where he is. He's, like I said, he's in his hiding place. Well, he comes back out, though. This is I'm going to close in just a minute, but this is a magnificent part of the birth of Jesus and how Mary and Elizabeth react. Watch this. Fascinating stuff. When you read it verse by verse, it is. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah. And entered the house of Zacharias. Okay. And greeted Elizabeth. So Elizabeth, Zach was probably somewhere in the house. And she goes to Elizabeth in Judah and greets Elizabeth. Well, they're both pregnant ladies. I wonder if they had a craving, both of them. You know, pregnant women have cravings right? That's what I hear anyway. I have never been pregnant. But. And she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Look what happens now. Verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, watch this now, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Whoa! John the Baptist, the forerunner, he's going to be born and preach Jesus coming, the coming Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament in the Hebrew Bible. And all of a sudden they get together, but they're in the womb still. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. John the Baptist was excited that he was with Jesus, who he was going to foretell. Oh, man. In the womb. They're having prayer meetings in the womb. They haven't even come out yet. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. God's blessing them. Jesus is in the womb of Mary. John the Baptist is in the womb of Elizabeth. They meet and boy, they have a great time. They're jumping around. Their babies are jumping around. They're both going like, this is just awesome stuff. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So they're encouraging one another. They're both pregnant. They both accepted the miracles of God. They don't understand it all. You don't have to understand everything all the time with God, do you? In order to say yes to Him? It's always yes, Lord. The Bible says it's always yes, Lord. If God tells you to do something and it seems a little out of sorts, maybe He tells you to go over here when you really want to go over here, do what God says do. You'll never, never be disappointed. And she cried out, she said, blessed are you among women, and blessed are you the fruit of the womb. Verse 43. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Wow, the mother of my Lord. So Elizabeth is starting to become a New Testament believer. She's an Old Testament saint. But now the new age is coming. The age of Christ. The beginning of Christ and the coming Messiah, the Lamb of God, God come to earth as man. And behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Can you imagine two pregnant women in the same place? Wow, when you came in, John the Baptist was just like, he was like preaching already. He's in the womb. I love this story. This is real. This happened. This is not a parable. This is how it was. I'm excited about it. In verse 45, and blessed is she who believes. Say believed. That there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. So, the promise that God would send the Messiah and God would send a forerunner has happened. It's all happening like God says. People don't understand that if you want to know what God says and what God does and His promises and all the prophecies, just read the Old Testament. Just read the Old Testament. And I want to end with the prayer. Mary, listen to her prayer. This is Mary's prayer now. She's getting the picture. But watch how she prays. This would be a good prayer for you if you're having trouble with your prayer life. I would say, read this as many times as you can. It's called the Magnificent Prayer. prayer of Mary. And listen, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord." What is she doing? She's praising God. Exalting the Lord. I'm praising God for miracles in my life because He is worthy. That He has found favor in me and I exalt His name. And my spirit, say my spirit, has rejoiced in God my Savior. She claims Jesus as her Savior right there. For He has regarded the humble state of His bondslave. She's humble too. She's a humble person. Doesn't God love the humble? Well, He will lift the humble up. If you're bowed down and you're humble, He will lift you up at the proper time. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. Yeah, she's blessed, but she's no different than you and me. She found favor with God, but she's right there confessing Jesus as her Savior right there. He just found favor with Mary. He could have chosen anyone. I don't need Mary to intercede for me to go to God. Sorry. I can go directly to God through Christ. Christ is my mediator. Christ is my advocate, not Mary. But she was found blessed. Good for her. God's blessing her. Receive the blessings when God gives you the blessings. And if somebody else gets the blessings, don't be all grumpy and stuff because you ain't getting none anyway. I know people like that too. Oh, really? They're getting all blessed out and I ain't getting nothing. Don't be that way. Be excited for people when God chooses to bless one person or another. She was humble. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. That's what we should be saying. God, You have done great things for me. Even though I've had troubles in my life, I've had so many troubles. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I've had some troubles." No, I guess I'm the only one? Okay. Sheesh. I thought y'all were some honest congregation. I've had some troubles. But see, He's still good to us, even through our times of trials. And holy is His name. Holy, holy, holy. You know that one? God Almighty. I can't sing. I can preach though.
Yes, you can sing.
But she's calling God everything He needs to be called. Holy and great are the things He does. And His mercy, look at her. And His mercy is upon generation after generation. God's mercy doesn't end because you mess up. Now, He may chasten you, and you may feel like you're distant from God from time to time, and it may be because you're not doing the right thing or going the right place, or maybe you're hanging out with the wrong people. But God's mercy endures forever. Hang with me now. I'll close for the first time. I might close for three times. And His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him. That kind of fear is reverence and awe of His majesty, His power. It's not that kind of fear that, oh gosh, somebody broke into my house, I need to go hide. That's not that kind of fear. It's a different kind of fear, isn't it? Would you agree? That's not that kind of fear. You fear God in reverence. You fear Him because He's holy and righteous and perfect. And He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He created you and knew exactly how you were going to turn out before you were even in your mother's womb. That's why I support the babies in the womb. The babies in the womb in this country should be the safest place on the earth. But unfortunately, it's not. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. Look what God does to the proud and haughty. He pre-scatters them out, man. He don't bless them. That's what it says right here. He scatters those who are found in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. Don't get all religious and stuff on me. That's what I say. You know those people?
All those religious people?
No, that ain't me. I hope I have a relationship and I'm real. I don't want to be religious. God doesn't like religion. He likes relationship. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who are humble. If you want to be exalted in your life, my friends, as a Christian, be humble before God and He will lift you up. He will take you places you've never been. He will make you feel like you've never felt before. Stay humble before God. Sometimes that's difficult. When God is blessing you, it's easy not to be humble sometimes. It is for me. We visit a lot of people that are less fortunate than us in our ministry. If you want to know more about Ready to Go Ministries, you can go to sermonaudio.com, Ready to Go. It's got lots of sermons about what we do. Amen? And He has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. If you're hungry for more God, if you're hungry for more of Him, He'll fill you up. Isn't that what it says? He has filled the hungry with good things. Say good things. He has filled us up with good things. Why would God withhold anything good from you if you're seeking God with all your heart? So seek Him and He will fill you up with good things. And He sent away the rich empty-handed. Uh-oh. Well, it's a great story. Well, I didn't finish your prayer yet. He has given help to Israel, His servant, in remembrance of His mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. How many months were they together? 3 months. And so Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. And then Mary was just conceived. And they stayed 3 months. So Elizabeth, in my calculations of things, is about to have John the Baptist. 6 plus 3 months. Am I adding right? 6 and 3 is what? 9. That's plus or minus is the length of a pregnancy, right? Am I right? I'm a guy. So help me out, women. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And so this is powerful. That these two women got together, that God blessed them in a way that cannot be conceived by this. Look, finite. God is infinite. Some things I can't grasp. So this is what's going to happen. You know, people that are like real, real smart. I said, really? You're that smart? Yeah, they got 3 PhDs and they're so brainy and smart. And there's no way I can get there. And I'm like, wow, you got lots of brains. Well, then they say, you got a lot of voice. Well, that's true. Okay, so you take what kind of blessing you get and you use it for God's glory. Is that true? And I'll close. Oh, what happened to Zechariah? Y'all want to know? Y'all want to know what happened to Zechariah? Yes. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth. Hello? Yeah? You know how I feel?
I do.
Okay. How's it feel?
Painful.
Okay. And she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed His great mercy toward her. Hallelujah. And they were rejoicing. Everybody was rejoicing. Look, God is at work in Elizabeth and in Mary. And they're having babies. One is young and a virgin. One is very, very old. She's having John the Baptist. And it happened that on that 8th day, they came to circumcise the child. And they were going to call him Zacharias. Well, that wasn't the instructions. What did God at the beginning say you should call your son? John. Not Zacharias. It was a custom then to name your son after you, right? But that wasn't the instruction, remember early on in the sermon? And He said they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what God said. He said, call his name John. Well, look what happened. See, we know what happens when you doubt God. God zipped up Zacharias' lips and he couldn't talk and he was a preacher. And we said, can you imagine me coming in here going, that would be hard for me.
Yeah, it would.
I would go home too. And I'll close for the second time. So that was rough. So they were going to call him Zacharias. But his mother answered and said, no, indeed. But you shall be called John. So that was the instructions when she got pregnant. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. It was custom back then. It's still custom today. They wanted to call him John Jr. Zacharias Jr. No, that's not what God said call him. Right at the beginning when she got pregnant, Elizabeth. This is good. This is where we'll close. Because this is where Zachariah finally gets it from God. He had taken away his speech. He had waited all his life to go into the temple and be what priests do, burn incense and go speak to the people about what God is going to do through Christ Jesus. And he said to her, there is no one among you who is called by that name. We said that before in verse 62, a long chapter. And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted to be called. So his father is holding up a tablet. And it says, and they made signs to his father as what he wanted him to call a son. He can't talk, right? And he asked for a tablet. He couldn't talk yet. That's how he's talking, Zacharias. He ain't talking yet. He asked for a tablet. And he got his tablet. And he asked for a tablet and he wrote as follows. Oh, this is where it all comes home. Praise. He gets it. He writes on the tablet, his name is John. Oh, Zach, you're coming through now. You learned your lesson, boy. It was at least five months, well, maybe more, probably almost 9 months before you could speak. And you couldn't speak, but you obeyed God after you doubted God that your wife that was beyond childbearing years could have a child. But then you're doing what God says. His name is John. He writes it on a tablet. And he goes out, and what's he do? And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, his name is John, and they were all astonished. I'm astonished today about the word and how wonderful and rich it is. I'm not astonished about my personality or my energy for it, but I'm astonished at the story. And what I can get from it. And at once his mouth was opened. He writes it. He's open. Now he messed up. God took away his speech and all his privileges. Then he did what God says. His name is John, not Zechariah. And immediately, it says right here, I'm reading from 64. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. Hallelujah. Woo! Loose that tongue. And he began to speak in praise to the Heavenly Father. Look at God. God didn't give up on him. He messed up. Sure did. God took his speech away and his privilege in the temple. But he finally get it. He was not going to say Zechariah, I guarantee you, because that wasn't the instruction. His name is John. And at once, it didn't say it a little bit later. A little bit later, his speech came. It said, at once, he opened his tongue and it became loose and he began to speak and to praise God. Fear came to all those living around them. Why was that happening? People were looking around and seeing all these miracles happening, seeing that Zechariah was mute for all these months and now he can speak, and then a virgin is pregnant and a woman that's beyond her barren years of having a baby is pregnant. A lot going on here. God is at work. Fear came to all those living around them. good fear. Like, oh, wow, look how great God is. Look what he's doing in the people's lives. And the same thing he can do in your life too. People go, that was just for that time. No, it's not. God is doing miracles all over the world right now. He can do a miracle in your life if you believe and not doubt. Fear came to all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country. So what happens? God gets the glory. Turn to your neighbor and say, God gets the glory.
God gets the glory.
Isn't that what he wants? He wants the glory, doesn't he? And that's what he's getting. Everybody's talking throughout the hill country of Judea about what God is doing in this situation. In the last verse, 66. And all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. Amazing, amazing story that actually happened. What a great God we have. This is the beginning of the New Testament. The beginning of John the Baptist. All the stuff that we go through as human beings. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we get chastened. Sometimes we ask questions. But look at the end. Zach gets his speech back. These women are pregnant, having babies that nobody thought they could. Miracles are happening. And I want you to always remember that verse. Remember John, Luke 1:37. For nothing, say, for nothing. Say for nothing. Say it like this. Nothing.
Nothing.
Say it like this. Nothing.
Nothing.
Will be impossible. Say it.
Will be impossible.
I said nothing, nothing, nothing. Say it like that.
Nothing, nothing, nothing will be impossible.
With God. If that's the only verse you ever know, and the only verse you ever live on in your times of unbelief or doubt or troubles or tribulations, you got to know that whatever you are, wherever you are, whoever you are, there's nothing, 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 nothing that's impossible when it comes to God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the word. I'm excited about it, as everybody will know, but it's the story that I'm excited about. I'm excited about being able to speak it. Zechariah, he lost his speech for probably more than 6 months or so, even maybe 9 months. And he lived a long time to do what you called him to do, but he got it right. He got it right at the end. Your mercy doesn't run out because we mess up. And then you bless Mary. She's a virgin and she's having Jesus, the Son of God, that's taken away all of our sins and going to be the Savior of the world. She's going to live a sinless life. And then Elizabeth, you bless her. And so she's not disgraced amongst the people about not having children. She's beyond childbearing years. So you're blessing the socks off of people, if you will. You're just blessing them because they're doing the right thing. And you'll bless us too. And if we need a miracle in our lives, like both of these women experienced miracles and the miracles of Zacharias not being able to speak, then I pray that someone listening to the message, whether it's on sermonaudio.com or wherever they're listening, that if they need a miracle, that this story could help them say, with you, nothing is impossible. And we're so thankful that you sent Jesus to be our Savior, to live a life that we could not live, to bear the burden of sin that we could not bear ourselves because we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And Jesus never sinned one time in word, thought, and deed. So Father, anybody listening to the message that has never said yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord, never repented of their sins and put their faith in the Lord as their Savior, I pray that that person for the first time will say, "Save me a sinner, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name." And those that already know Jesus as Savior, maybe we have drifted away a bit. Maybe we have strayed away a little bit, like all sheep will do. I pray that these words of the Bible, not my enthusiasm about it, but the words, the story, will make them want to be closer to you, to come back to the fold if they have drifted off. So, Father, in Jesus' name, bless everyone listening to the message. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And all of God's children said, Amen.